Take your Bibles with you out this morning and turn to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 4 to begin. Acts chapter 4. We're going to be looking in a little bit into the example of a man we find in the New Testament named Barnabas. Acts chapter 4. Good to see everyone with us this morning. It's a great opportunity always to be able to come together and to open up our Bibles and hopefully also open up our hearts to what the Lord has to say and accept and receive it and obey it. This morning, I want to focus in on a very important subject, something that I know that several here need. There are some here who are not here this morning who I wish were here. But those of you who are, hopefully this lesson will be encouraging to you. The need for encouragement. How can I be an encourager to others? Like I said, this is a very needed subject here. Seems like someone, in fact, mentioned it this morning to me that, you know, it just seems like lately it's been one thing after another. And I know someone else just last week who said something very similar to that. I was speaking with Bruce Dobbins yesterday morning. He made the same observation. He wanted to know when the bottom was going to come. After he found out that his grandmother passed away, his daughter had been in the hospital in the emergency room with a messed up leg, and his son diagnosed with cancer, all within the last 2 weeks. Where's the bottom? Where's the bottom? I don't know. And we have others here who've experienced the same thing. Where's the bottom? We need to be encouraged. Allow ourselves to be encouraged by the things of God. And so this morning, I want to talk about this subject. And in Acts, the 11th chapter, in verses 19 through 26, this was read a little earlier by Cameron in the scripture reading. I just want to point out a couple of things from this. Number one, there was a man named Barnabas. We read about him back in Acts, the 4th chapter. And there, that's why I asked you to turn first to Acts, the 4th chapter, because there we see a man who is a Levite. In verse 35, and Joseph, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. When we're first introduced to this man, Barnabas, he is spoken of as, well, as his name suggests, son of encouragement. We find often in the Bible, names mean things. Names mean things. Barnabas had a particular meaning. It was so fitting for him. Because as we read in the New Testament, he fulfilled his name. There in Acts, the 11th chapter, it says in verse 24, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. Why? Because of Barnabas. There in verse 23, when he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad to encourage them that they all, with purpose of heart, should continue with the Lord. He was an encourager. We need Barnabases today. We need encouragers today. And as we're faced many times with the struggles of life, we need others to lift us up, or at least be there for us. The word encourage, literally in the Greek, by the way, that this word, our English word encourage, comes from paraklesis, parakaleo. The word is, in fact, a basis for the word paraclete, which has reference in the New Testament to the Holy Spirit in John, the 14th through 16th chapters, where Jesus is telling his disciples that the Comforter will come to you. The Comforter, the Paraclete. And from this word is this idea of a Comforter, to call to one side, to call to summon, to admonish, to exhort, to beg, entreat, beseech, to console, to encourage, and to strengthen by consolation, to comfort. So, to exhort, to comfort, to encourage. Merriam-Webster defines the word encourage this way: to inspire with courage, encourage. Inspire with courage, spirit, or hope, to hearten, to tempt, to persuade, or to urge, to spur on, to stimulate, to give help or patronage, to foster. To encourage, to improve someone's spirit by giving them hope or confidence. We need to all be encouragers from time to time, because life experiences are hard. And thus, we need courage, especially in the hard times. We need courage when we're being persecuted, when we're being threatened, when we are being ridiculed. We need courage. We need to be encouraged to stand for the truth and to do what is right. It's always easier to do what is wrong than it is to do what is right. We need confidence. We need confidence. That is, the word confidence, by the way, comes from Latin. The word con, with, fidence, or fide, faith, with faith. That is the idea. To do it with confidence, or with faith and hope. To have this, as we've been talking about in our Bible study from Hebrews chapter 6, our hope is the anchor of our soul. When the storms of life are raging, what is it that keeps us from being blown away? It's our hope. Hope is the anchor of our soul. And let me suggest something else to you. Life's experiences demands interdependence. What do I mean by that? I mean that we need to be dependent on each other. First and foremost, we need to be dependent upon God. But we need to have the dependence upon each other, interdependence. We need to be locked arm in arm going through this world. It sure makes things more bearable. We need to be encouragers of one another. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, we see this concept over and over in the Bible. In the New Testament, for example, Hebrews 10 and verse 24, and let us consider one another. Consider one another. We ought to have this love, brotherly love for each other, a concern for one another's well-being. You think about someone else, Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. We ought not to be thinking about our own needs or desires, but upon those of others. So let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. That is to encourage. That's what that means. To stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. I want to ask you, how can you consider one another and stir up love and good works if you're not around them? If you're not there, if you're not here, how can you do that? As is the manner of some do forsake the assembling of ourselves together. But instead, we ought to be exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. Encouraging, being an encouragement, that's not ever good when you see keynote quit unexpectedly. It's never good to be a discourager. We know that. We understand that. We need to be an encourager at all times because we do face hard times. We are going to suffer through difficulties. Let me find where I was here. Here we are. Let's see if it doesn't quit. You know what? This is not what I need. That's the only one that opened up. Because I need to get back into the songs too, don't I? There we go. Let that open up. Now, if you watch real fast, you can get a preview of what's coming. Okay. We all need to be encouraged. We see this over and over. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 18. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, by the way, in this context, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, what's Paul talking about? He's talking about death. He's talking about that we have brethren who have gone to sleep. That is, they've died. And we need to comfort one another with these words. What words? The words of the Lord. What are those words? The Lord's going to come back. And he's going to bring them with him, those who have fallen asleep in him. And we will be raised up. We will meet them in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Hey, that's pretty encouraging stuff, isn't it? When you think about the resurrection, comfort one another with these words. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you are also doing. In the same context, later in chapter 5 and verse 11, still in regard to the idea of death, but also with the difficulties of life, the challenges that we meet each day, we need to comfort each other, okay? In chapter 5 and verses 14 and 15, now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourself and for all. I want to submit to you that the idea of exhorting, warning, comforting, upholding, being patient, pursuing what is good, all of those things have to do with encouraging. Listen. Let's say that you are playing, you're a child and you're playing in the middle of a train track. And here comes a train. You know, it'd be kind of foolish, wouldn't it, for me to come out to you and say, oh, that's such a wonderful place to play, just because you think you're encouraging them, of course. You don't want to damage their self-esteem. You don't want to hurt their feelings. So you want to be real gentle and nice and sweet to them. And here comes a train. Oh, you know, sometimes life demands quick, stern, forceful responses. And even those forceful responses, let me suggest to you, should be seen as encouraging. We don't look at that in that way in society these days. When someone is warning or rebuking you, you don't think of that as encouraging, when we ought to. We ought to think of that as encouragement to do what's right. And so, warning as well as upholding and comforting, it's a broad subject, really, when you think about encouraging. Now, how we can encourage others, there's more ways than one. Circumstances demand different approaches. If someone is in spiritual death, they're in sin that they need to repent of, flattering them and stroking their self-ego is not going to help them. They need to be rebuked. That is encouraging them to do what is right. They may not accept it, but they're certainly, flattering is not going to help them. Who has never needed to be encouraged? Who has never needed to be encouraged? I have. I'm certain you have too, if you've lived any time at all in this world. Because sometimes life is hard. A lot harder than we expect. In Numbers, the 21st chapter, the children of Israel, they've been delivered from Egypt. They're in the wilderness. They're on their way to the promised land. They've rejected the promise. Now things are really hard. But what are they to do? They're to trust in God. Nehemiah 4 and verse 10. They're building the wall. The people had a mind to work, so they're really busy going at it. But there was a lot of rubbish. There were also some other discouragements. Sambalot and Tobiah were casting insults at them, ridiculing them. And they were discouraged because of the way things were. Sometimes life is harder than expected. Sometimes serving the Lord is harder than we anticipated. We need to be encouraged to keep on fighting the fight. We need to keep on. Sometimes others seem to do better, and so we have the temptation to look at others and think of our situation, our circumstances as being so bad. And there's a little bit of jealousy and envy that creeps in. The Ecclesiastic writer warns us many times, as does the psalmist, so does David. Many times when we look at others and we are envious of their success, their well-being, especially if they're wicked, be careful. Be careful. They're going to get what's coming to them. And what is good for them today may not be so good for them tomorrow. And whatever is bad for us today, listen, all things are temporary. Everything is temporary in this life. Everything. The good and the bad. Just keep to the course. And sometimes we think, well, it's just taking too long. This is taking too long. Patience. Perseverance. We need to keep going. Don't give up. We need to be encouragers because people are in those types of circumstances, and we need to encourage them to continue. How can we fail in being an encourager? I want to suggest quickly three things. James 4:17, he that knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Inaction, just not doing anything. We can, instead of encourage, we can discourage. Just not doing a thing isn't going to cut it when it comes to encouraging one another. We need to be busy acting, doing what's right. Wrong actions. Our sin, our hypocrisy, or our inconsideration of others' needs is going to discourage. We need to be people of encouragement. We need to always provide a good example. We always need to provide what is needed, considering one another. And then wrong words. You know, Job. Think about what Job was surrounded with in Job, the second chapter. Job's wife said, curse God and die. Give up. Wow, what encouraging words from your wife. Give up, Job. And then he has three friends come along. And these three friends, Eliphaz in chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, Bildad chapter 8, 2 through 7, Zophar chapter 11, 13 and 14, all of them just let him have it, because they had the idea that Job is in this circumstance because he has sinned. They were wrong about that. But you know, when someone is in dire straits, they don't need a lecture. They don't need a sermon. His three friends actually started out pretty good. They just came and they sat. That was all right. That was encouraging to Job, as they just sat. It's when they opened their mouth that they got themselves in trouble. Sometimes that's all people need from us, just to be there, just to sit. And just be an encouragement. But we need to be careful. We can fail others. In fact, in Job, the 16th chapter, in verse 2, Job says, I have heard many such things. Miserable comforters are you all. Shall words of which have an end? Shall words of wind have an end? Or what provokes you that you answer? I also could speak as you do. If your soul were in my soul's place, I could heap words up against you and shake my head at you. But I would strengthen you with my mouth, and the comfort of my lips would relieve your grief. We need to be careful about what we say. All that Job wanted was for them to be quiet, stop talking, stop criticizing, stop judging. Listen. Just listen. Encourage him. Now, if he had sinned, certainly they would have been right to point that out. But right then, at that moment, at that time, he needed just to be encouraged. And sometimes we can find ourselves in that place. The source of all encouragement certainly is God. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. And all the comfort that we give to others, by the way, can only be given if we are given what God offers, and that is His words of comfort. That's how we comfort and encourage others. The Father and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ in 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 16, He is the Lord of comfort. Acts 9 and verse 31, the Holy Spirit, the comfort that is given from God. Now, that is given to us in the Scripture, as we've talked about in our Bible study on the book of Hebrews, and in chapter 6, the anchor of our hope, or hope being the anchor of our soul. How do we come to that hope? Well, it's through faith. Faith in God's Word and God's promises. Romans 15 and verse 4, talking about the Scriptures. Those things that were written aforetime were written for our learning. And through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Hope comes from what God says. And then we need to share what God says with those who are in need. And not a lecture, not a sermon. Encouragement to submit to God's will, to do what is right, and just stay the course, stay strong. C.S. Lewis once said, God cannot give us happiness and peace apart from Himself. There is no such, because it is not there, there is no such thing. And how true that is. The same thing is true with comfort, with hope that we try to share with others. It's only found in God and through Him. God is the comfort, the source of all comfort. And as far as each of us are concerned, we're all different. Our personalities are different. Some have a better personality for encouragement. Some are better equipped for that. Barnabas was such a man. Not everyone has the same skill set and the ability to encourage as Barnabas did. We all need Barnabases in our life. But we are not all Barnabases. But we can all do something. And Romans chapter 12, 3 through 8 speaks of the different abilities that we have. Those who have the gift of ministry, let them minister. That is serve. That is encourage and comfort. We all have the responsibility. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 9 through 11, verse 14, pointed out. Edify or comfort one another. That's something we all ought to do. Daily, Hebrews 3 and verses 12 and 13. Why? Because of the deceitfulness of sin. We need to encourage one another today while it is called today. Always, every day, it is our duty. And so we need to be diligent in striving to help one another, to lift them up. Now, in Acts the 4th chapter, getting back to Barnabas, and what little time we have left, I want to focus in on some things and try to get some practical examples and lessons for us to take home when it comes to how can I encourage someone else. Barnabas, as we said, his name translated son of encouragement. What a nickname to have. He was a Levite of the country of Cyprus. He sold land. Because there was a need. There was a need. He didn't just sell land to go out and give it to the homeless people on the street. These are brethren taking care of brethren, and Barnabas doing what he could to help brethren who were in need. Most people at that time were poor, especially when they became Christians. Why? Because when they became Christians, many of them were cut off from their inheritances. Many of them lost their jobs. They needed support. Comes Barnabas. He had land. He sold it so brethren who were in need could have that need met. God does not ask us to give what we do not have. Acts 3 and verse 6. But He does ask us to give what we do have. And by the way, it's not just money. We have in this country developed this mindset that if we throw money at a problem, then we've fulfilled our duty and our obligation to remedy that problem. Now that's false. I may not have any money to give someone who is in need of money, but maybe I can do something else. We've all heard the expression, teach a man to fish, you feed him for a lifetime. You give a man a fish, you feed him for a day. Teach a man to fish, you feed him for a lifetime. Just handing people money, many times, in fact, is the wrong thing to do. And I really am not encouraging someone who doesn't want to work. By the way, what did Paul say about those who do not want to work, who will not work? Paul said, if they're not willing to work, neither let them eat. Okay? So you don't do them any good by giving them what they want. We need to give them what they need. Sometimes money ain't it. I try to make it the practice when someone comes here to the building or that I run into somewhere who are wanting a handout, I try to give them what I feel they need instead of really what they're asking for. I had a fellow in Pine Bluff come up one time wanted gas. He came up, he had his gas can in his hand. He wanted gas. I said, okay, hop in a truck. I'll take you down here to the gas station and I'll fill your tank up with gas. I'll can up with gas. No, I just give me $5. That'd be fine. No, I'll just run you down here to get you some gas. No, that's all right. Just give me the $5. I said, no, I'm not going to give you the money. I'll take you to get your gas. That's what you want, right? You want gas. He said, fine, forget it. He walked off. Okay. I had a lady come up wanting food, and she was wanting $50 for food because she had a baby that was hungry. So this was way a long time ago back in Pine Bluff. I took her down to the store and bought her some food. Dropped it off at her house. She was grateful. You give them what they need without enabling them to do something wrong. Be careful about that. So giving people what they need is often not the same thing as giving them what they want. Giving what they need. Help those in need. That's what Barnabas was doing, though. And he was laying this at the apostles' feet so that those who were in need could help others. How can I be an encouragement? Sometimes when people, they're just down and they need help. Help them. Who knows? Maybe you are that helping hand that will help them change their entire life and give their life to Jesus Christ and their service to Him. Another example in Acts, the 9th chapter, verses 26 through 27. Paul had just obeyed the gospel. Paul, of course, having previously persecuted the church, he makes his way to Jerusalem. Verse 26, Saul had come to Jerusalem. He tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple. Well, guess who comes in? Guess who comes to the rescue? It's Barnabas. It says, in fact, in verse 27, but Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus to the name of Jesus. So he was with them in Jerusalem, coming in and going out. Barnabas steps up, defends Paul. You know, it's not always easy to see the good in others, especially when they've been bad in the past. It's easy to magnify the bad and discount the good. Why do we do that? Barnabas saw the good. Barnabas saw a changed man, and he stood up to defend him. It's not always easy to see the good in others and to defend them. You know, love, again, the root of encouragement is the consideration that we have and the love that we have for others. Love believes all things. Love looks for the best in others. Do we believe in those who repent? And are we there to support them and strengthen them? like we ought to be. I can be an encouragement to others by helping new Christians grow. In Acts the 11th chapter, verses 22 through 24, our scripture reading, Barnabas was sent from as far as Antioch. And there, when he arrived, he saw something. He had seen that the grace of God had been received there. People had obeyed the gospel, becoming Christians. Barnabas then encourages them with purpose of heart to continue with the Lord. People need to be encouraged. You know, when you become a Christian, things don't get easier. Things usually get harder. And we need to be there for these babes in Christ. They need to be strengthened and encouraged. We need to realize their need. And by the way, what equipped him really to be that type of an encourager was he was a good man full of the Holy Spirit, full of faith. By the way, being full of the Holy Spirit, certainly the miraculous ramifications of those in the New Testament, but the Word of God is the Word of the Holy Spirit. I'll submit to you today that a man who is full of the Holy Spirit is full of God's Word, and he's able to share God's Word with others. And so we too need to be people of the Word and people full of faith so that we can be a positive encouragement to those around us. We can be an encouragement to others by providing opportunities to serve. Another example is found in Acts the 11th chapter of Barnabas stepping up. What does he do after he leaves Antioch? He goes and he finds Saul, the one that he defended back in Jerusalem in chapter 9. He goes and he looks up Saul of Tarsus, to go and help him. It's interesting, in Acts the 12th chapter, Acts the 13th chapter through verse 7, it's always Barnabas and Saul, Barnabas and Saul, Barnabas and Saul. But you get into Acts 13 and verse 9, it flips around. And from then on, it's Paul and Barnabas. Paul and Barnabas. Do you think that Barnabas knew anything about Paul's purpose? Well, I'm sure that he did. And now he is wanting to provide Paul with what he needs to fulfill the purpose that the Lord had called him to fulfill. Do you think that Barnabas was a little envious because eventually Saul took the leadership, took the role, the main role? Of course not. That's what Barnabas wanted. Barnabas wanted Saul to become what God wanted him to become. Some are jealous of others who have greater potential than they. We need not be that way. We need to always provide opportunities and pray and hope that each and every one fulfills their duties and responsibilities to the Lord. Providing opportunities to serve is one such way. People need opportunity, and we encourage them by providing those opportunities. Barnabas, also in Acts the 15th chapter, we find a disagreement between Paul and Barnabas over John Mark. John Mark is given another opportunity, a second chance by Barnabas. Now, in the discussion in chapter 15, beginning in verse 35, what we find is Paul and Barnabas also remained in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. Then after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us now go back and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord, and see how they are doing." Now Barnabas was determined to take with them John, called Mark. But Paul insisted that they should not take with them the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia, and had not gone with them to the work. Then the contention became so sharp that they parted from one another, and so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus, But Paul chose Silas and departed, being commended by the brethren to the grace of God. And he went through Syria, Cilicia, strengthening the churches. And the scripture then follows Paul and Silas on their journey. But I want to think just a moment about Barnabas and what he did here. Okay? John Mark had left them behind in Pamphylia in Acts 13 and verse 13. The first missionary journey. Paul insists that John Mark not be allowed to go. And you know, from a practical standpoint, Paul's right. I mean, this is difficult work, Barnabas. I can just hear the conversation. This is hard. We don't need people who don't have the heart for it. He's demonstrated in the past he doesn't have the heart for it. When the fire gets hot, I'm afraid he's going to leave us, and we just can't afford to take that risk, Barnabas. And Barnabas says, but Paul, he's changed. Again, think back. Here a man who defended Paul in Jerusalem, now he's defending John Mark. You think he had reason? Some suggest it's because they were related. No, I think Barnabas is just a man who had belief, had faith in someone who has made a change in their life, wanting to give them a second chance. The contention was so strong that they go their different ways. Many ask, well, who was right in this? Seems like Paul was right. Well, in a sense, Paul was right. I think Barnabas was right too. They both had good points. Sometimes we can have disagreements and it not be a matter of faith, and we can go different directions. Not that they separated. They did not, by the way, break fellowship over this. All right? This wasn't a break in fellowship. They just went different directions in preaching the same gospel. But, okay, they had a difference of opinion. Paul later commends John Mark in Colossians 4 and verse 10, 2 Timothy 4 and verse 11, Philemon 1 and verse 24. He says, have John Mark come to me, for I am in need of him. Paul's view of John Mark had changed. Why? Because Barnabas had given him another chance, and John Mark had proven himself. Thanks to Barnabas. By giving others a second chance, we can encourage them to do what's right. I can encourage others by helping those who are in need, who are really in need, by giving them what they need. I can help others by extending support and encouraging them when they are otherwise rejected, by believing in them, and by strengthening them, by teaching them, encouraging them to, with purpose of heart, remain faithful to the Lord, by providing opportunities for them to serve the Lord, and by giving them second chances. Just because someone down does not mean that they are necessarily out. They need encouragement to get back up and fight again. Hebrews 3 and verse 12, beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. We can become deceived by sin, and we can become hardened in that sin. And you know, people can become hardened because of the mistreatment that they receive from their own brethren, who ought to, instead of putting them down, instead of ridiculing them, instead of forsaking them, instead of ignoring them, they should reach out and help them and encourage them. Yes, rebuke sometimes is necessary. And we had better rebuke, because if you don't rebuke a man who needs rebuke, you're not encouraging him. But at the same time, they also need to be rebuked or encouraged. You know, the work of preaching, the Apostle Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. All three of those things are means of encouraging people to do what's right. Have you obeyed the gospel? I want to encourage you, if you've never repented of your sins and been baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, I want to encourage you to do that. I want to encourage you. I'm not going to promise you a bunch of lies that, you know, it's not true. Things that, like, everything's going to be wonderful, you're going to get rich, everything's going to be nice, all your problems are going to go away. None of that's true. But I will promise you, you obey the gospel, you'll have the hope of everlasting life. And if you're faithful to the Lord, you'll be with Him for eternity in heaven. That's encouraging. Obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. This world and all that's in it will one day be gone. Then all you'll have is eternity. Where will you be? I want to encourage you to do what's right. To save yourself. Repent. If you're here this morning, you need to repent. You need to return to God. I want to encourage you to do that. Don't wait till tomorrow. Don't put it off. Today. Repent. And if you're here this morning, you know someone who has been rejected, who is in a condition of sorrow, of hurt. If you know someone who needs to repent of their sin, if you know someone who just needs to be encouraged to do what's right, take the opportunity today and encourage them. We all know someone who is in need. The Lord wants you to do what's right. I want you to do what's right. All the faithful brethren here want you to do what's right. I want to be encouraging to you. And if we can encourage you, if we can help you in any way, please, why don't you come? Just together we stand.